When I reached my 60th birthday, I prepared a message to preach to our congregation on the subject, Reflections of 60 Years. A few months ago, Doris found that message in one of her secret hiding places, I guess. And she brought it out, and she said, "Why don't you try this on your 80th birthday?" So I got the message and worked it over and preached it on my 80th birthday. And a few people thought it was a good message. And your pastor asked me a few days ago if I would bring that message again. So I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord willing, on reflections of 80 years. They go by so fast. But let's read four verses from Psalm 39 before I begin the message. Psalm 39, verse 4. "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I really am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." You know what a handbreadth is. You horse lovers know. So many hands on a horse. Isn't that it? "My life is but a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." That word Selah says, read that again. Read that again. Say that with emphasis. "Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they're disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Now, it's always profitable, especially in our last days, it's profitable to reflect on the passing years and determine what we have learned as we grow old. What have we learned as we grow old? Well, I have three things here. First of all, I'm thankful. I'm really grateful. And I mean this. I'm thankful that I've reached this age, 81 years of age, because, number one, I'm nearer home than I was last year. I'm nearer home. Think of that. And I'm in a strait. I'll borrow these words from the Apostle Paul, and I mean them. I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But here's the other side. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh with you may be needful or helpful for somebody. But I'm still between those two things. I have a desire to go be with the Lord. But still, if the Lord is pleased to use us, we'll be thankful. Secondly, I'm thankful not only to reach this age, but I'm thankful to grow old. Really. In order to grow old, when you grow old, you learn some things. We grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that maybe by God's grace, I've grown a little bit in patience. It takes a while to acquire patience. Tribulation worketh patience. It takes a while to acquire temperance. It takes a while to acquire some understanding of this word. It takes a lot of study, a lot of thought. It takes a while for us to learn to be more charitable with everybody else. A little charitable toward others. I see no fault in anyone else now that I don't see in myself. Can you say that? I see no fault in anyone else that I haven't in thought, word, or deed felt that very same thing. Old William Jay went by John Newton's study one day and walked in, and he said to Mr. Newton, he said, good news. He said, Mr. Bowling from Bath has been converted. And that old man's been converted. And I tell you this, Mr. Newton, I'll never despair of anybody else since that old man's been saved. And you know what John Newton said? He said, Brother Jay, I've never despaired of anyone since the Lord saved me. I give thanks that he was pleased to call me. And here's the third thing. Remember this. This scripture, we grow in grace and we get a little more charitable and understanding, a little knowledge of the Word of God. But remember this. The Bible still says they're little children, they're young men, and they're elders and fathers. In Christ, there's no shortcuts to being an elder and to being a father. You got to be a child first. And children grow to be young men. And young men grow to be fathers. And the God of all grace, will perfect you. He'll mature you. And he'll establish you. And he'll strengthen you. And after a while, he'll settle you down. Do you ever hear your father say to you, just settle down, boy. Settle down. That's what I want. I want to get settled down in him, in his love, in his grace. So, after 81 years, and 57 years in the ministry of God's sovereign grace, here are my reflections. I believe I've learned these things. Number one, life is short. Number two, salvation's of the Lord. 100%. Number three, Jesus Christ is all and in all. Number four, God will provide. He always has and he always will. And number five, we've got to die. And that'll be soon. Got to go. I'd be glad. All right, let's go with number one. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 4. James the 4th chapter, verse 13. Life is short. You know, you hear old people say that all the time. Life is short. It really is. It really is. I've discovered that. They were telling the truth. James chapter 4, verse 13. James 4, 13. Go to now. Come now. You that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. What's your life? What is your life? Why, it's even a vapor. James says our life is a vapor. What's a vapor? Just a puff of smoke. Just a puff of smoke. You go out in a cold morning and breathe and let your breath out. There it is. But it doesn't last long. It's there for a moment, and then it's gone. It's a vapor. It's a vapor. That's what your life is. It's a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Job said this about life. James says it's a vapor. It appears for just a second, and then it's gone. And Job said this, life is a shadow. What is a shadow? Well, there's one right there. There it is. That's a shadow. He said that's our life. A shadow is an empty thing. Nothing there. A shadow is an empty thing, no substance. It's just there. And then a shadow doesn't last long. It's gone. It's gone now. And then thirdly, a shadow leaves no mark where it's been. I read about folks leaving this and leaving that. They left everything. Leave their names on things, you know. It doesn't mean a thing. It's just gone. Just a shadow. And then Job said this. What is your life? A vapor? Your life is a shadow? And your life is a flower. What is a flower? Well, it comes from the ground. Every flower comes from the ground. That's where I came from, Adam. From the ground. And then a flower comes from another flower. We're born of our parents. And we're born just like them. And then a flower blooms. It's beautiful, fair and lovely for a while. And then it begins to wither and die. And you know where it goes? Back to the ground. That's what it is. What is your life? Oh, God, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to Christ, to wisdom. Teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. My friends, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And let me tell you this. The Bible doesn't say a man can't seek the Lord. He won't. They will not, but they should. They should. And God has given this pledge. Ho, everyone that thirsty, come to the water. Seek ye the Lord. Are you weary and heavy laden? Come to me. I'll give you rest. Everyone that shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. While it's day, the night cometh when there won't be anyone seeking the Lord. Number two, turn to Romans 8. Here's my second reflection. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, by whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. I love this old song. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. My heart owns none above thee. For thy rich grace I thirst, this knowing. If I love thee, you must have loved me first. God chose us. Like the Apostle Paul, I have one thing in common with him. And like many others of you who are here this morning, I was in an empty, false profession of religion. Came out of the Navy. Darcy and I got married. I started a school. Got a job in the steel mill. And then the Lord led me to go to Ashland, Kentucky. And I went up there and worked with the young people for about 6 months and realized I needed more education, so I went back to school. and a pastor of the church, and a 24-year-old pastor of a Southern Baptist church that didn't even know the gospel. That's exactly right. And so the church in Ashland gave me an invitation to resign my church in Chattanooga and come to Ashland, Kentucky, and work with that church again. And the day I arrived, Ralph Barnard came into town to preach a two-week meeting. You know, Doris and I had gone through the Bible, reading our devotions at night, and it came to the book of Romans. This is back some time ago. It came to the book of Romans, and I said, honey, let's just skip that book. I don't understand that. What I was reading here, whom he predestinated, then he called, I just skipped that. So Barnard got up to preach that Tuesday morning. This is a fact. In this large Southern Baptist church, I was sitting on the first row. I was the song leader and the new assistant pastor. I was sitting there on the second row. And he looked down at me and he said, why don't you quote Romans 8:28 for us? Why did he do that? I know why he did that. I stood up and I said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. And I sat down. Quiet. What's the rest of it? Don't you know the rest of it? I said, I think I do. So I got up again. I said, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Quiet again. He looked at me as only he could look at man. He said, young man, purpose! Everything God does, He does on purpose. There are no accidents with God. Kill me. Slew me. Doris hadn't moved up there yet. I just got into town, the new assistant pastor, and she was down in Chattanooga getting our things together. And I went to the pastor's house, and I sat down in his study and read the book of Romans. And I discovered something I never knew before. I saw the majesty and lordship of Jesus Christ. I saw the fall and ruin of our father Adam. I studied and learned that great confession of faith Paul wrote in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I read that thing again. And I saw it. And I learned how God can be just and justify. I learned how God can be God and save folks like us. And I learned this. I learned that salvation is not an offer. It's a gift. I learned that salvation is not by chance. That everybody ought to have a chance. They did. But salvation is not by chance. It's by choice. And salvation is not, I will if you will. Salvation is according to God's will. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but born of the will of God. I became a preacher then. I'd been playing religion for 4 years. And I learned the gospel. All right, thirdly, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things in Christ are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I hear people say, well, I came to the doctrines of grace. I didn't. I came to Christ. There's a difference in the past. There's a difference. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. He hath made us a holy person in Christ, weary and worn and sad, and I found in him a resting place. We didn't just learn a system of theology. I didn't just learn a system of theology. I learned Christ. That's what Scripture says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And like Abraham of old, I didn't any longer believe there is a God. I believed him. Abraham didn't just believe there's a God. The devil believes that and trembles. But Abraham believed him. How do you know he believed him? He obeyed him. That's how I know. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. And let me tell you this. Remember this. He's not the old man reformed. He's a new man. He's not the old man with a new doctrine. He's a new man. He's not the old man with a new lifestyle. He's a new man in Christ Jesus. And he is now a new person, one who never lived before. Isn't that true? The old man's lived a long time. I've lived 81 years as an old man. Still got the old man. But I have a new man when I was 24 years old. A new man. A new nature. A new heart. A new spirit. A new life was begotten in me by the power of God that day. New creature. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If so be that you've heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit, in heart, in the spirit of your mind, that you put on that new man, which after God is created. It's a new creation. It's created in righteousness and holiness, true holiness. Jesus, listen, this hymn writer wrote this. Jesus Christ, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, mid flaming worlds, in him arrayed, with joy I lift up my head. Bold I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? a new creature. That old man died, and one day we're going to bury him, be done with him. And that same new man that He created in regeneration, in the new birth, and saved our soul, that new man is going to be with the Lord. That's just so. Now here's my fourth reflection. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Psalm 37 verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God, I've learned this number four, he will provide. He will provide. That first time when I got out of the Navy, I got a job at the steel mill, working where my father worked, where Darcy's dad worked. And Darcy worked at the church secretary. And when they invited me, 21 years old, didn't know the gospel, but the Southern Baptist invited me to come up there and be a song leader and youth director. And I went. What did we have? I quit my job. She quit hers. We lived with my parents. We didn't have a stick of furniture. Didn't have an automobile. And we went to Ashland, Kentucky. And they paid me $40 a week to be a song leader and assistant pastor. And Doris got a job at the insurance company. We lived in two rooms. Didn't have a refrigerator. We put the butter and stuff on the windowsill to keep it cool. But God provided. And I pastored that Southern Baptist church for 4 years. After the pastor left, and I became pastor, and preached grace of God. And I've tried to pastor two churches, one Breathe Grace and one Breathe Works and Free Will. And I preached for 4 years. And finally, on one Saturday night, I got a bunch of men together, and I said, had all this I can stand, all this fussing and quarreling and arguing. Let's get out of here and go start a church. I got up the next morning, and Sunday morning resigned. Doris was 8 months pregnant with yours truly over here. And we quit. Moved out of the parsonage, rented a house. But I resigned that Sunday morning knowing God will provide. And I resigned, and when I stepped down the pulpit, Lawrence Gilley, you knew him well, came walking up. He's a truck driver, drove a truck for Ashland Oil years and years and years, walked up to me and handed me a check for $1,500. Back in 1955, that was a heap of cheaper shekels. He handed me a check for $1,500. He said, now that's on the new church. I handed it back to him. I said, Lawrence, it's too early. I don't know whether we're going to have a church. I'm just not going to pastor this one anymore. I'm not going to fight over grace and works. I'm going somewhere where I can preach. He said, take the check, preacher. If you get run out of town, you'll need some gas to go home on. Well, he's furnished me gas ever since. God will provide. He always has, and He always will. You found that out time and time again. Listen to this. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, one thing assures us, whatever betide, His promise assures us, God will provide. The birds without barn or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. His saints what is feeding would never be denied as long as the Word says, God will provide. when life sinks apace and death is in view, the word of His promise will comfort us through, not fearing, not doubting, with Christ as our guide. We hope to die shouting, God will provide. He always has and He always will. Here's my fifth one. Turn to Job 5. Job chapter 5. Job 5 verse 26. Job 5, 26 and 27. Listen to this. Job 5, 26. Let's just take it phrase at a time. Thou shalt come to thy grave. Thou shalt come to thy grave. All of us got to come to the grave. All of us. All of us must die because it's appointed unto man once to die. Got to go down there. Thou shalt come to thy grave. You know, the Lord said to that to unbeliever, He said, the Lord requires your soul this day. Remember, your soul will be required of thee, not the believer. His soul's not just required. He comes to the grave willingly. He'd be glad when God calls him home. That's right. When the time comes, and we go to be with the Lord. The way we go to glory is the way we came to Christ. Willingly. The way we go to Grover is the same way we came to Christ. Willingly. And thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. When is that? Well, my son died at 28, 20, 21. My daughter at 42. That's a full age. Somebody said, I hate that your son was killed, you know, so early in life. I said, God gave him 21 years. That's all God gave him. Took him home. Yeah. You see, my friends, our bounds are set. The number of our months are with God. He hath determined when we'll die. That's right. We're going to come at a full age. A full age. A full age. Whatever the age is, in the fullness of time. Now watch this. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in its season. Somebody said one time, if corn is harvested before it's ripe, it's no use. If corn stayed in the ground too long, it'll come to nothing. But when God's purpose for us is fulfilled, and His church is fulfilled, we'll be plucked from the field just at full age, just at the right time for His glory, and be seated with Him at that great marriage supper of the Lamb, plucked by God. It's tough. It's very tough. But it's of God, so be it. So be it. It's of God. All right, verse 27. Lo, this, hear this, we have searched it, we have studied it, and so it is. No doubt about it. What we've been talking about today, that's it. We studied it, and we searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for your good. I believe I got a hold of something here. Life is short. Salvation is of the Lord. Christ is all. And God will provide. That's so. Study that. Old Roland Hill was a great preacher over in England. And he was a great, like your pastor, illustrations. Roland Hill was very, very had great ability to illustrate, make people understand things, you know. And he said he dreamed he died. And he went to glory. And when he got to glory, he said, I heard most beautiful singing. Most beautiful singing. And he said, I moved closer and closer, and there was a great, wonderful choir. And they were singing to the glory of God. And I moved up close, and I thought to myself, I said, I'd sure like to sing with them. I'd sure like to be part of that choir. And he said, I looked up, and there was a seat. Empty seat. Right up there. And he said, I began to make my way to that seat. I wanted to sing with them that song that they were singing. And he said, I made my way to that seat, and I looked, and on that seat was a name, Roland Hill. And he said, I sat down, and I started singing. And he said, I never missed a note. Never missed a word, because I've been singing that song for a long, long time. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I look on His face, that's going to be glory for you and me. Thank you, Pastor.
Five.